Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going back in time to ancient Israel.
Okay.
And we're using all the research that you've given me about their struggle to stay devoted to Yahweh amidst some pretty tempting alternatives.
Yeah.
It's a story with intrigue, moral dilemmas, and maybe even some lessons for us today.
It really makes you think, you know? Especially when you consider that the Israelites had witnessed Yahweh's power firsthand,
right,
and yet they still found themselves drawn to the practices of their Canaanite neighbors.
So let's just dive right in. We've got Dr. Howard's work, which suggests three main reasons for this whole deviation thing.
Okay.
Sex, money, and peer pressure.
Yeah.
Still pretty relatable thousands of years later, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And what's really interesting is how these temptations were all intertwined with like the fundamental differences between Israelite and Canaanite beliefs.
Let's start with the, shall we say, spicier aspect.
Okay.
Dr. Howard points out how Canaanite religion was deeply connected to sexuality.
Right.
He even uses this funny phrase, Tuesday night witnessing night.
Yeah.
To illustrate the culture clash.
Okay.
Imagine trying to convert someone who's essentially saying, look what we get to do at our services.
That is a great image.
Right.
It really highlights that contrast.
Yeah.
Dr. Howard cites passages like Numbers 25 and Deuteronomy 23.
Okay.
Which mention this thing called cult prostitution. Now, this wasn't just about personal pleasure.
Right.
This was like a core part of their rituals and beliefs.
I see.
They believed that it appeased their gods, ensured fertility of the land, and brought prosperity.
So for the Israelites, resisting this wasn't just about like saying no to a good time.
Right.
It was about staying true to this covenant with Yahweh.
Yeah.
A God who valued moral purity.
Exactly. For them, to participate in these rituals would have been seen as like a betrayal of their relationship with Yahweh.
It puts things in a whole new light.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just resisting temptation. It was about staying true to a totally different worldview.
Precisely. And that clash of worldviews, it becomes even more apparent when you start to look at the allure of money.
All right, let's talk money.
Okay.
Dr. Howard references Deuteronomy 6, where God describes Canaan as just this land overflowing with riches.
Mm-hmm.
A stark contrast to what the Israelites had after wandering in the desert for years, right?
Yeah, right.
I can only imagine the temptation of seeing your Canaanite neighbor just living it up while you're struggling to make ends meet.
It makes you wonder, like, did some Israelites think maybe their gods Dio provide better?
It really does. Maybe some Israelites saw adopting Canaanite practices as like a way to improve their own economic prospects, right?
It's certainly possible.
Yeah.
And then that brings us to the third motivator that Dr. Howard highlights.
Okay.
Peer pressure.
Ugh, peer pressure. You know, wanting to fit in, be like all the other nations.
Not just a high school problem, is it?
Not at all.
So Dr. Howard suggests that the Israelites wanted a king, and they also wanted a visual representation of Yahweh.
Yeah.
Just like the statues and idols of their neighbors. It's like this deep-seated human desire to belong, to be accepted.
Right.
You know, they wanted to be a part of the dominant culture, even if it meant compromising their beliefs.
And that leads us to a really interesting discovery at a place called Kuntalet Ajrud.
Okay.
Can you tell us about what archaeologists found there?
Sure.
And why it's such a big deal?
So imagine this.
Okay.
Archaeologists are uncovering an ancient Israelite site, right?
Right.
And they find this drawing of a bull representing Yahweh next to a female figure.
Hey.
Now that female figure represents Asherah, the Canaanite goddess. And there's an inscription right there with it. I bless you by Yahweh of Samaria and by his Asherah.
That's shocking, isn't it? So you got Yahweh worship, but with this blatant Canaanite imagery.
Right.
What does this syncretism tell us about what was going on?
Well, the syncretism, this merging of different religious practices, suggests that they were trying to have it both ways.
Okay.
They wanted Yahweh's favor, but they also wanted the perceived benefits of the Canaanite beliefs.
So they were trying for this hybrid religion, blending elements of both to fit their needs.
It seems that way.
But why go through all that trouble? Why not just pick one or the other?
Well, that's where the inscription gets even more interesting.
Okay.
Because it mentions Yahweh of Samaria.
Right.
And this implies that they might have started to see Yahweh as just one God among many, each ruling over a specific region.
I see.
It's a subtle but significant shift from the idea of Yahweh as the one true God,
right,
the universal God. It's like they were trying to fit Yahweh into like their existing understanding of how the world worked.
Right.
You know, instead of letting their understanding of the world be shaped by their belief in Yahweh.
It's a fascinating glimpse into how belief systems evolve, especially when you've got all these different cultural influences.
Absolutely. And this leads us to another really crucial aspect of this whole story, okay. The role of leadership.
Right.
Think about it. If the leaders of Israel had set a strong example, maybe things would have been different.
Yet leaders do tend to set the tone for everybody else.
Precisely. And we see this pattern throughout the Old Testament when you have kings like David or Hezekiah who were devoted to Yahweh.
Right.
The people generally followed suit.
Yeah.
But then when leaders strayed, the people often went with them.
So it wasn't just about individual choices. It was also about the leadership.
Right.
You know, whether they were reinforcing or undermining that commitment to Yahweh.
Exactly. And it highlights how important it is for those in positions of power to lead with integrity.
Right.
And conviction.
Yeah.
Their actions, they really do speak volumes.
It makes you wonder what was going on in the minds of those leaders who chose to compromise.
Yeah.
What were they hoping to gain by doing that?
Well, maybe they were trying to appease different factions within their society.
Okay.
Or maybe they saw some political advantages in adopting certain Canaanite practices.
Interesting.
It's hard to know for sure.
Right.
But their choices, they obviously had really far-reaching consequences.
And those consequences weren't just limited to, like, the religious sphere.
No.
It seems like these compromises, they kind of had this ripple effect across the entire nation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When they embraced the Canaanite practices, they weren't just adopting different gods.
Right.
They were adopting a different value system, a different way of life.
And that way of life wasn't always compatible with what Yahweh had laid out for them.
Exactly. Think about the emphasis on material wealth and social status in Canaanite culture.
Right.
That clashes directly with Yahweh's call for justice, compassion, and care for the vulnerable.
So essentially they were straying from like the very foundation of their identity as a people chosen by Yahweh.
Precisely. And this deviation from their core values.
Right.
It ultimately led to their downfall.
Yeah.
The pursuit of like those short-term gains, whether it was wealth, power, social acceptance.
Right.
They came at a high cost.
It's a classic case of losing sight of the bigger picture.
Absolutely. And it's this reminder that true prosperity and security, they aren't rooted in material possessions or social status.
Right.
They come from living in accordance with principles that transcend those things.
It sounds like the Israelites' story. It's like a cautionary tale, reminding us that even when we're faced with all these tempting alternatives, compromising our core values can have disastrous consequences.
It is a cautionary tale,
but
it's also a story of redemption.
Yeah.
Despite their repeated stumbles, Yahweh never completely abandoned them.
Right.
He always offered a path back to them, you know,
yeah,
a chance to return to a right relationship with him.
It speaks to that idea that even when we make mistakes,
even
when we stray from what we know to be true, there's always the possibility for forgiveness and a renewal.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's a message that resonates deeply with, you know, just the human experience. Mm-hmm. We all make mistakes. We all have regrets.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have this capacity to learn from those experiences and to choose a different path.
So the Israelites' story isn't just about their relationship with Yahweh. It's also about their relationship with themselves.
That's a great insight.
Yeah.
Their journey was ultimately a journey of self-discovery.
Right.
A process of figuring out who they were and what they truly valued.
And that process, it wasn't always easy.
Right.
Or straightforward.
Yeah.
Right. There were twists and turns.
Yeah.
Setbacks, breakthroughs.
Absolutely.
The journey of life is rarely a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of challenges and opportunities for growth.
Precisely.
And it seems like the Israelites' story is a reminder that the journey itself is just as important as the destination.
Yeah.
You know, it's through our struggles and our mistakes and our triumphs that we truly learn and evolve.
Precisely. Yeah. And that brings us to another fascinating aspect of this whole story.
Okay. Yeah.
The importance of community.
Right.
You know, notice how often the Israelites' downfall was linked to their own internal divisions.
It's true. When they were united, when they worked together, they were strong.
Right.
But when they became fragmented, when they turned against each other, that's when they were vulnerable.
Exactly. It's like the old saying, united we stand, divided we fall.
Yeah.
And that principle, it applies not just to nations, but to communities of all sizes.
Right.
When we're connected, when we support each other, we're more resilient, more capable of overcoming the challenges that we face.
We're not meant to go through life alone. We need each other.
Right.
We need to cultivate those bonds of community, those relationships that sustain us and help us thrive.
Absolutely. And that sense of community.
Right.
It isn't just about shared values or beliefs.
Yeah.
It's also about compassion, empathy, and understanding. Mm-hmm. It's about recognizing our shared humanity and treating each other with kindness and respect.
It seems like the Israelite story, it's full of lessons that are relevant to our lives today.
It is.
Even though their world was so different from ours.
And as we delve deeper into this exploration, I find myself wondering if their story isn't also a reflection of, like, our own individual journeys.
What do you mean by that?
Well, just as the Israelites faced temptations,
right,
and made choices that had lasting consequences, so do we in our own lives.
That'd be right.
We all have our own wildernesses to wander through,
yeah,
our own promised lands to strive for.
And along the way, we're constantly faced with these choices, right?
Right.
Choices that can either lead us closer to our desired destination,
yeah,
or take us further off course.
Exactly. And the key, it seems, is to learn from the mistakes of those who have gone before us.
To heed the warnings.
Right.
To embrace the wisdom.
Yeah.
And to forge our own path with courage and conviction.
It's about recognizing that the journey is just as important as the destination.
Right.
And that the challenges that we face along the way, they're not meant to break us, you know?
Right.
They're meant to shape us.
Yeah.
To refine us. Right. To help us become, like, the best versions of ourselves.
Well said. I think it's time for us to pause and reflect on what we've discovered so far.
Okay.
To consider the parallels between the Israelites' journey and our own.
Yeah.
To ponder the choices that we're making, the temptations that we face.
Right.
And the values that guide our steps.
And when we come back, we'll continue exploring ancient Israel.
Okay.
Looking for more insights into the human condition and our timeless search for, you know, meaning and purpose.
You know what I think is so remarkable is how these ancient stories,
yeah,
even though they're from such a vastly different world,
right,
they still resonate with our experiences today.
They do.
The Israelites' struggles with temptation,
yeah,
their quest for meaning, their relationship with the divine.
Mm-hmm.
These are themes that are just as relevant now as they were thousands of years ago.
It's really a testament to the enduring nature of the human experience.
Right.
You know, we may have all this technology and different social structures today.
Yeah.
But those fundamental questions that we grapple with, the challenges we face, the yearnings of the human heart.
Mm-hmm. Those remain remarkably consistent across time and cultures.
It makes you realize that we're not so different from those who came before us.
Yeah.
We share the same hopes and fears and vulnerabilities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by exploring these themes through the lens of history,
right,
we can gain a deeper understanding of ourselves and, like, our motivations and the choices we make each day.
One thing that really struck me was how often the Israelites seemed to just forget the lessons of the past.
Mm.
They would experience Yahweh's deliverance, his,
yeah,
faithfulness, his power.
Right.
And yet time and time again, they'd turn away and embrace the ways of their neighbors.
Yeah.
It's almost like they had a short memory when it came to the consequences of, you know, straying from their covenant with Yahweh.
Yeah, it's a human tendency, isn't it?
Yeah.
To forget the wisdom that we've gained through our own experiences, you know?
Right.
We can repeat the same mistakes, fall into the same patterns of behavior, even when we know better.
Right.
It's as if we're drawn to test the boundaries.
See if maybe this time the outcome will be different.
So how do we break free from this cycle? How do we truly learn from the past and let that wisdom guide our choices today?
I think it starts with cultivating a sense of gratitude.
Okay.
Gratitude for the blessings we've received, for the lessons we've learned,
mm-hmm,
even for the mistakes that we've made that taught us valuable lessons.
Yeah.
Gratitude helps us to just stay grounded, appreciate what we have,
right,
and focus on the positive,
yeah,
instead of dwelling on the negative.
It's like an antidote to that sense of entitlement and discontent that can lead us astray.
Precisely.
Yeah.
When we're grateful, we're more likely to make choices that are aligned with our values. You know,
yeah,
with our truest selves,
right,
we're less likely to be swayed by these temptations that promise quick fixes or easy solutions.
Right.
Because we recognize that true fulfillment comes from living a life of integrity, mm, of purpose, of,
yeah,
service to something greater than ourselves.
You know, the Israelite story, it also highlights the importance of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Despite their repeated transgressions, Yahweh always offered them a path back.
He did.
He was always willing to welcome them back into a right relationship with him.
It's this powerful reminder that no matter how far we've strayed, no matter how many mistakes we've made,
mm-hmm,
it's never too late to seek forgiveness and start anew.
It's never too late.
And, you know, that forgiveness, it isn't just something that we receive from like a higher power.
Right.
It's also something that we need to extend to ourselves and to others.
It's about letting go of the past.
Yeah.
Releasing the guilt and the shame that can hold us back.
Mm-hmm.
And embracing the possibility of transformation and growth. Of becoming the best versions of ourselves.
It's about recognizing that our mistakes don't define us.
Right.
They're a part of our journey,
yeah.
but they don't dictate our destination.
Right.
We always have the power to choose a different path, to rewrite our story.
What I find so powerful about the Israelites' story is that it's ultimately a story of hope.
Yeah.
Hope in the midst of struggle, hope in the face of adversity,
mm.
you know, hope that no matter how far we may have fallen, we can always rise again.
Absolutely.
It's a story that reminds us that we're not alone in our struggles.
Right.
We're all part of this larger narrative, a story that's still being written.
Yeah.
And we have the power to choose how our own chapters unfold.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Thank you.
Their story is an invitation to us to reflect on our own journeys, to acknowledge our own struggles and triumphs,
right.
and embrace that possibility of redemption and renewal that is always available to us.
This deep dive into ancient Israel's history has been so incredibly enlightening.
It has.
It's amazing how these ancient stories can still resonate with us today.
Yeah.
Offering these timeless insights into the human condition.
Their struggles, their search for meaning, their relationship with the divine, they're all themes that are just as relevant now as they were thousands of years ago.
And by exploring these themes, we gain a deeper understanding of ourselves, our motivations, and the choices we face every single day.
It's a reminder that we're all on this journey, you know?
Yeah.
And the challenges that we face, they aren't meant to break us.
Right.
They're meant to shape us, to refine us, to help us grow into the people we're meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's about embracing that journey, you know, with all the twists and turns.
Yeah.
And trusting that even amidst our struggles, there's always hope.
Right.
Always the possibility of redemption, always the chance to start anew.
Well said. And on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive.
Okay.
We hope this exploration has been insightful and thought-provoking for you.
Yeah.
Until next time, keep seeking, keep learning, and keep diving deep into the mysteries of life.